Imagine Disney's Fantasia. Now pretend it was directed by a bunch of Japanese guys. Imagine the music was a crazy mix of 1980s synthesized madness. Last but not least,
Robots!
Robot Carnival is a feature-length compilation of animated shorts created in 1987 and released in America in the early 1990s as showcased on the Sci-Fi Channel. After seeing one of its segments after, I think it was Project Echo, and seeing the credits for a much longer film, the credits alone had me thumbing through my TV guide, hoping I'd see the whole thing sometime soon. And when that day came, I had no idea what I was in for. There is no way to review this thing without reviewing each of its segments, and since there's 8 of them, this entry's getting its own part in the podcast. Have your tickets ready, folks. The Robot Carnival has arrived. Opening. A small, peaceful village is introduced to the Robot Carnival with extreme prejudice. Despite the ranting warnings of a young village boy, the arrival takes the hamlet completely off guard, spreading a murderous hellstorm of exploding ballerinas, brass band bazookas, and enormous crushing tank treads. By the end, nothing remains of the village but a handful of homeless and very confused survivors. Starlight Angel. To all the girls out there, you know, the 3 who are still listening after my Helsing rant, you ever just go out for an evening of fun and adventure with a girlfriend at, like, a theme park or something? Then you find out your girlfriend is seeing someone, only to discover that it's your current boyfriend cheating on you? So you run off to think about things and mope to yourself for a while, only to find that your attempts at escaping the issue transform into happy robots that fly around and frolic and play until you're reminded of your ex, and your feelings of regret and frustration turn into a giant Evangelion robot, which then chases you around and... Okay, yeah, no. But in this segment, that's pretty much what happens. This cute cautionary tale is a tad on the trippy side, but it teaches us a valuable lesson. Girls, share strict notes on the men you date, and men... don't complain about your chick's mood swings. They could be worse. Giant robots worse. Cloud. I could never sit through this segment as a kid. It's a story of a boy robot who wanders the world for days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millennia, all in search of humanity. Now, Bicentennial Man made this sweet, melancholy premise, but this short stresses the wandering a little too much. It consists almost entirely of the robot walking in the lower left-hand corner of the screen for about 10 minutes, while abstract animations of Cloud swirl around it. This, combined with a gentle, soothing soundtrack, amount to a child's boredom and adult's 10-minute sleeping pill. It's beautiful, yes, but this one's best enjoyed with a lot of coffee. Deprive. Deprive. So, here's the exact opposite of Cloud. Robot alien invaders come to Earth and start blowing the shit out of everything. Humans are killed, robots are destroyed, except for one robot who loyally defends his preteen female companion for about 2 seconds before battling seizure Robo hands him his automated ass on a platter. Luckily, the robot survives and rebuilds himself into a combat model, bent on rescuing the princess no matter how many 1980s punk rock musician robot overlords he needs to punch through to do so. The music's nothing to scream about, but it's a very pretty light show. Franken's Gear. Frankenstein's a monster, but make it a robot. Add some trippy lighting effects and some eerie music, and you've got Franken's Gear. Nothing special, but there's nothing like a little menacing poetic justice to lighten up your day. Oh, say, Doc, watch that first step! Presence. This had to be my favorite anime for a reason. And if the last 5 acts were the appetizers, lemon water, and little dinner rolls, the remainder of the film is the main course. Actually, I like to think of Presence as the bottle of wine you order just to swirl it around and feel pretentious. Presence begins with a brief scene in which an old gentleman's head is knocked off of his body by a gang of rowdy children. The head continues to shout and protest, revealing that some of, if not all of the people here are actually androids. The definite truth of the world has been left unsettlingly ambiguous. The narrative begins with the male half of a young married couple. They are financially successful, have a stable family, and appear happy enough to the outside. However, through the husband's internal monologues, he expresses dissatisfaction with his job, his wife. He claims that, at least in public, he defends his wife and may be seen as too pro-feminist, but in secret, he longs for something more, in his words, fundamental than a happy marriage and a child. In the middle of a shadowy wood, in a tiny cottage, the man creates toys and other whimsical machines, most of all a very lifelike and beautiful robot, as realistic as the inventor or anyone else. But the moment he completes it, it begins to act all too human. Realizing the consequences of this development, he immediately destroys her, but her impression has been made. His guilt over killing a living person, even if that life were just part of his imagination or some flaw in her programming, her spirit, her presence, haunts his memory. I won't spoil the ending, but I will suggest that there's an entire other dimension of weirdness going on here. By the way, find an English dub. Every subtitle version I found is catastrophically bad. Tale of Two Robots, Chapter 3, Foreign Invasion.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Don't bother looking, there's no chapters 1 or 2. Nothing after, just 3. I can't tell you whose creative decision that was.
3. No more, no less. 4. Shalt thou not count, neither count thou 2. 5. Is right up.
But I'm sure as hell it doesn't matter. This zany segment switches gears again, telling the story of a giant robot battle over the city of Tokyo, circa the 19th century. In one corner, 5 Japanese youths piloting a steam-powered wooden paper automaton. It becomes quickly difficult to tell which is more dysfunctional, the robot or the ones piloting it. The eponymous foreign invader is Jonathan Jameson Wilkinson III. His cackling, flailing, lazy-eyed ranting exposits that he wishes to take Japan's vast expanses of gold. To do this, he plans to use a brick-and-plaster behemoth armed with a cannon and stiff, jerky arms. The battle is, well, suffice it to say that by that period in time, the fine art of robot battles hadn't been perfected, and when two noobs are given giant robots, nobody wins. Except the movie-going public. Nightmare. Many aspects of Robot Carnival are similar to Fantasia. Nightmare is the closest the movie ever gets to being a blatant ripoff. This part is an homage to Fantasia's Night on Bald Mountain sequence, which is fine by me because that was my favorite part of Fantasia. The story is an exhibition of dark robot revelry. A massive silent machine god overlooks a modern Japanese city. He launches divine lightning from his hand, summoning an earthly vassal by the name of Red Hat. Red Hat, a Napoleon-looking robot on a flying scooter, roams the city using the very same energy that created him to summon more robots, who meander and cavort under the machine god's watchful eye, celebrating their dominion over the city. All is not well in Crazy Town, however, as we find a drunken Ichabod Crane-esque man passed out in an alley. The robot invasion seems to have completely gone over his head. Unfortunately, few hangovers are bad enough to ignore an army of walking metal. The bum, nicknamed Chicken Man, is soon leading Red Hat on a desperate scooter chase for his life through the monstrous parody of what he once called his home city. Of course, given the title of the segment, it's clear that this swim through the pits of technological terror is only a dream. Or is it? Closing. But just like bad dreams, all things must eventually come to an end. As it makes its rickety journey through the desert ruins of the Earth, the robot carnival finally collapses, shaking itself to pieces while trying to pass one final hill. Night falls, leaving the carnival to rust and be buried beneath the drifting sands, its tragic history, and even its swath of destructive terror forgotten. This is where the American audience got screwed. In Japan, we're actually treated to that history. Able to see the carnival for what it once was, a traveling spectacle of light, music, and wonder. Sadly, over many years, the carnival fell into disrepair, its fireworks and bright lights becoming a malfunctioning, volatile carnival of death. The American credits are a simple black and white affair with negative silhouettes of a character from each segment. The origin of the carnival credits are gone, although after the credits, or rather before the credits in the American version, again, no spoilers, but let's just say that the carnival has no intention of going out with a whimper. So there you have it, friends. Robot Carnival is, to me, the most charming, memorable, intriguing, fun, and exciting anime ever crammed into a single-hour time slot. It never came to America in DVD format, but that's where YouTube comes in handy. Thanks, guys. There was never a sequel, nor was there a huge fan following. I think those people were too busy with their Erosion Z and their Galaxy Express 3-9 and their... Well, I guess Project Echo was kind of funny, but that's not the point. Well, that was a hell of a top 10 list, wasn't it? I wish it could go on, but much like the carnival itself, I must be going on to other podcasts, bigger and better things. So until next time, CD/play me out, fellas.
Are you in here? Look, I just wanted to...
What then?
I wanted to apologize. See? I brought these.
Is that the best you can do?
Look, I know it's stupid, but I don't think you're being fair here.
Spare me the platitude.
Alice, come on. I was talking about American McGee's Grimm, all right? It has nothing to do with you.
I'm not stupid. Don't make me think you are.
Alice.
What good are you to me?
I thought we could be...
In your own mind.
Fine. I don't know what you want from me. I guess we can talk later if you ever want to. We'll see you later.
A dream discarded dies hard.